Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. My name is Alec Medford here as always. His name is Blake Elliott of The Fan After Dark. We got Chris Strong on the ones and twos. And you, the Turn It On, Leave It On listener, we appreciate you so very much for hanging out with us here today on a cold but beautiful morning here in the mighty Metroplex. The Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys text line is 877-881-1053. We are live on Twitch and YouTube as well. If you want to hang out with us there, get involved in any and all of our conversations here today. We usually have Mickey Spagnola here, but Mike McCarthy is about to have his press conference, so we will chat with our Cowboys insider at 11:40 here today. AM on the FM coming up here in about 18 minutes or so, as I called it during Crosstalk, the people segment. We will get to that here in just a second, but right now, I think it's time we take a trip around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dupe.
And, of course, Gridiron Gravy is brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your house with Rhino Shield? Visit RhinoShieldTX.com today. So, I set it up on the other side by saying, I think Aaron Rodgers might have figured out what we all figured out weeks, if not months ago. Jets Aaron Rodgers says he's unsure of playing in 2025, and he would not be shocked if this week is his last game in the NFL. During his media availability yesterday, the 41-year-old admitted that he was thinking about whether the Jets' final game against the Dolphins this Sunday would also be his last, saying, quote, "Yeah, of course," before continuing to reflect on his career, which began all the way back in 2005 when I was a whopping 4 years old. Saying, quote, "This game has given me a lot. I've given a lot back to it, and I'm thankful for it. I won't be thinking about that come game day. I'll just be enjoying this. I'm just trying to stay in the moment. But of course, it's been a long career. I'm really proud of what I've been able to be a part of, what I've been able to accomplish, and also looking forward to a nice mental and physical rest." That last sentence to me kind of indicates that on the wrong side of 40, he might be ready to just hang him up and say, look, had the major injury last year. We've had the front office turmoil with Woody Johnson and his son essentially being the de facto GM, the firing of everybody around him, the demotion of his guy, Nathaniel Hackett, trading for Devontae Adams to only win, what, like four games after that?
Two.
I was being generous. Look at that. So I think he's finally having that come to his senses moment where he's like, you know what? There might not be anything left for me.
Yeah, he's not good. I mean, let's just call a spade. And I'm a guy who religiously had Aaron Rodgers rip my heart out in the playoffs of beating whatever team you're rooting for. He would do that until it got to the big time moments in the conference championships where he would inaugurally fall apart. But Aaron Rodgers, what has kind of been his calling card, no matter...
Ayahuasca.
That too. But it's been the touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, he's had like, I think, believe five of the best seasons are his touchdown interception ratio. It's always been great. This year, his touchdown to interception ratio, 24 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. Chris Strong, what's the math on that? What is that touchdown to interception ratio? And he can use his calculator. What is that touchdown to interception ratio? Because I know it's not great. I'm not a mathematician either,
but I'm going to say it's about 2.4. 2.4, something like that.
I don't think that's good from a guy who's also got the 24th 25th, excuse me, worst QBR in the league at a sub 50, 48.3. Well, maybe he's got a bunch of yards, Blake. 12th in the league, just at 3,600. Well, I mean, Blake, he didn't have a number one pass catch. I mean, he asked for Devontae Adams to get there and got him. Garrett Wilson's not too bad at football either. Got him, wanted Tyron Smith at left tackle. Now he did get hurt, but he was there as well. So I just think there's a lot of excuses you can make, but I don't see any of them as valid. He didn't take the offseason serious. He didn't take the regular season serious, and you're seeing the results of it. I think it's time the Jets move on. I think it's time that Aaron Rodgers moves on from football, and it's just the Pat McAfee show. I think he's great on there. I think he should continue doing that, and that's where his career seems to be going.
I knew it was pretty much over for him when a couple of weeks ago he was on McAfee, and he was complaining about people going on ESPN and inflating their ego.
Ryan Clark
complaining and stuff while he was literally actively doing the same thing, yep, going on ESPN and complaining and inflating his own ego.
The same guy who released a 3-part documentary about himself?
Yeah, he's never really been much of a team guy, do you think? I wouldn't really label him as that. But I digress. Aaron Rodgers, it sounds like the end is near, and it's not a cryptic message from him. It's the end of his football playing career. I will be interested to see, though, just because, like you said, he is such a polarizing figure and people will click on headlines that involve his name. What is he going to do next? I have no idea.
My question to you is, do you think another football team takes a chance on him? Because I've tossed this around with Fred. He goes, I could see the 49ers maybe doing it if they don't sign Purdy. I mean, throw out X team that has a good team but doesn't have a great quarterback. Do you see any team taking a chance on him, or do you think if the Jets move on, he's done?
I feel like there's people that all things equal would take a look at it, but he's been hurt. He hasn't been available. Whether it's physically, you know, not being able to be available, or just, you know, disappearing into the woods for 2 weeks. You know, like, he is not the team guy that he used to be. Either that or Mike McCarthy in Green Bay was really good at handling him, and we just never heard about the leadership shortcomings, because it doesn't seem like guys want to play for him. Doesn't seem like guys want to play with him anymore. That was not the case in Green Bay. It felt like Green Bay, I wouldn't call it a destination team or program organization, but it definitely felt like people weren't mad if they got a fat contract offer from him or got drafted there, because it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, he will will guys to win. He will get guys to run through a brick wall for him. I think he more so as people wanting to drive into a brick wall, because there's a lot of people that seem to not like being around him. And now the conversation is, if he were to come back next year, would guys like Garrett Wilson even want to play there anymore? You know, some cream of the crop talent in the NFL, Breece Hall, even, like, how motivated would they be to play over there? I don't think very much. Yep. The LA Rams will be starting Jimmy Garoppolo in week 18 against the Seattle Seahawks with Stetson Bennett as the backup, Sean McVay said yesterday. So yes, in 2025 now, Jimmy Garoppolo will be starting an NFL game. Did not have that on my bingo card, but here we are nonetheless.
Oh, Jimmy G.
Matthew Stafford will be inactive just for rest. There is no issues there, but you know the Rams have everything locked up in front of them, so they are not worried about playing key players.
I'm guessing Cooper Kupp's not playing. I mean, he's projected 2 points on my fantasy team. So.
Yeah, it looks like every single starter pretty much is going to be, like, all of the important people are not going to be playing for the most part. Speaking of that, for the Philadelphia Eagles, it will be the same case. They put out their practice report yesterday. Pretty much every marquee player, yep, DNP, DMP, DMP. Reason, rest, rest. Rest. And league sources have indicated to The Athletic that Saquon Barkley will not play. So he will not be breaking Eric Dickerson's rushing record this season. He has crossed 2,000 yards. I believe he is one of eight to do that. So he is already in some very legendary company, but he will not get a chance at the record, to which I say, I'm totally shocked.
So he would have needed just shy of 100, I think, to break it. It was somewhere like 90-something.
Yeah, and I I'm shocked for one reason and one reason only. It's not because I thought Saquon was going to push for it himself. He definitely is the kind of guy that would be like, let the young guys go get some work. Let them shine. Let's see what they got. He's that kind of a team player. I think that Nick Sirianni is such a loser that he would want to have his name associated to an NFL record. Yep. And then he could go out there after the game and talk about what a job that the staff did to make sure that happened, and what a job, you know, how happy he was when Saquon signed with the team instead of going back to New York or signing with Chicago, who was in the running back market. He's going to find a way to make it totally about himself. And we even talked about it earlier in the week, Will Chambers, Mike Bassick, and I, whenever he said he was going to consult with ownership, with Howie Roseman, with the medical staff and everything, to make the right decision. And I said, BS, he is going to look in the mirror and ask if Saquon Barkley is going to play. To which I say, I'll give you your flowers this one time and this one time only, Nick Sirianni. You did the right thing for your team. You have not been doing a lot of good things for your team this year, making yourself the face of the franchise. But this time, you put the ego aside and you did what was best for your football team. Congratulations. You did what all good head coaches should do.
I mean, what happened last year with the Eagles? They started off great, 10-1, and then fell apart at the end of the season, bleeding into the playoffs. This year, they don't start off too hot, kind of wobbly. They even had a little shaky point in the middle of the season with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts kind of having a riff. But they've been one of the best teams over the last couple months. What, they lost one game over the last, like, 2.5 months. So they seem to be trending in the right direction, as much as it pains me to say. And we'll have to see if that rust versus rest comes into fruition for this Eagles team, as they'll be, what are they? They locked into the 2 seed already. So they'll be playing. Who's their projected matchup in the playoffs? Do we know yet?
We can find out. NFL, I don't have the bracket in front of me.
Bracket. But for Saquon, do you think the week 17 extra week, it would have been an asterisk on them breaking the record? So kind of he understood, like, hey, you might break the record, but nobody is going to give it its due diligence because there was an extra week. Do you think that played into it at all?
I know Eric Dickerson said himself, like, no, because you're doing it in 17, which is a weird stance to take when you broke the record in 16 games that was broken in 14 games by OJ. So kind of weird stance to take. But there's at least one person on the planet that would, even though, you know, I'm a born and raised thoroughbred Cowboys fan, I would have loved to see it. And I would have recognized him as the rushing king just because of what a freak season he's had. He defied all the odds because everybody thought he was hurt guy, and he stayed healthy this season, stayed on the field, and played every game outside of this Week 18 matchup. And two, what he's done for the running back position as a whole is incredible. It's nothing short of incredible. He's revitalized the thinking that a run game is important. He's brought back life to the idea that running backs in general are worth their value. They are worth paying for. Talents like him don't come around very often. And I was talking to you and Carter before the show. I went down a weird, just random wormhole last night, and I was watching like the old docuseries that the Lions made about their draft process. And they were talking about the Jahmyr Gibbs pick. You know, he got drafted way ahead of everybody's mock drafts. And Brad Holmes, the GM, was just like, positions don't matter as much as people think. Whenever you know a guy can help your team in a very big way, you go get him. He's like, it's that simple. You know, he was like, my thinking has never been, oh, but positional value, this pick is better than this pick because he plays this position. He was like, you know, the only place you really can do that, and it makes sense, is quarterback. And that's at the top of the draft and at the top of free agency. You saw it with the Atlanta Falcons this year, even though it didn't work out, but they did both. They took a quarterback in the draft, and they signed one in free agency.
Shout out Kirk Cousins, man. His agent.
His agent is a legend at the bank, man. I need his agent for if I ever make it big in this stuff, because that's going to be a good payday for me. But for Saquon Barkley, I would have recognized him as the true rushing champion. I would have no issue with that. I know there are plenty of people out there that would have, and shout out to the Fantex for doing the math for us. 101 yards is what he needed,
yep.
Which, he probably would have gotten, because it feels like he averages at least that every game. Yep. Even in games where he starts off slow in the first half.
Or doesn't even play the fourth quarter.
Exactly. Yeah, it's almost like the conversation and the discourse surrounding Ashton Jeanty this year at Boise State. And they're like, oh, well, upper level competition. And like he wouldn't have beaten the record anyways. It's like, well, he didn't play a lot of second halves. Yeah. You know, so because he had already gone off for a billion yards in the first half. So Saquon's that dude, man. He really is. And I hate that he is in this division and not wearing a star on his helmet, because that means we got to deal with him for a few more years.
Oh, yeah. And shout out to the Giants. Who did they play? The Colts. Shout out to the Colts for letting the Giants score 45 points in a game that did not matter, so that the Giants will no longer have the number one pick, which means they can't go get a franchise quarterback. Thank you, Colts. Thank you, Giants.
Drew Lock, man. Who would have thought? In the Lord's year of 2024.
When I saw they had 45, I literally was like, what are they doing?
No, my favorite part was whenever Malik Nabers scored there towards the end of the game and the home crowd was booing him for scoring. They were booing their own team for scoring because the fans had realized this is going to hurt our draft plans. So there you have it. That's our trip around the NFL with some gridiron gravy. Coming up next, it's time for the people segment. AM on the FM is coming your way. We got the question of the day, plus Joe Mazzulla is still a national treasure. Next on the Fan. AM on the FM is coming your way here in just a moment. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer the question of the day whenever we get there here in just a moment. Alec Medford and Blake Elliott with you here on the KNC Masterpiece today. We got our Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnola coming up on the other side, plus Kyle Yeomans of DallasCowboys.com at the usual 1 o'clock spot on a Thursday, even though Corey Majors isn't here. We will still have one of our favorite guests here to talk all things Cowboys Commanders, Zeke Elliott's release, and the offseason that lies ahead. But right now, I think it's time for the people segment. I think it's time for some AM on the FM.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Joe Mazzulla is a national treasure. You're going to hear from him here in just a little bit on AM on the FM. You haven't done this in a while, have you?
I have not. A great intro, by the way. Great intro.
Chris hasn't done this in a while. I mean, like, it feels like this is like a rebirth for us.
It's a reunion.
It's a reunion. Truly. I mean, I haven't heard the words young and guns together in a while. So, you know, it feels nice to be back with one of the OG weekend crews here. Look at this.
Is this like OG Fortnite coming back?
Pretty much, yeah. It's got that same nostalgia feel because, I mean, we were just talking to the three-time Hall of Famer, CA, who was in the building earlier, and he was like, it sounds like y'all haven't missed a beat. And it's like, well, it's like riding a bike when I'm with Blake Elliott, but sometimes that bike gets a flat tire and then the chain breaks and then, you know, because he's Blake Elliott.
And we have to get on each other's back for a ride.
Huh.
If the bike breaks, how else are we going to get home?
That's a good point. I mean, we could just walk.
But what if my leg was crippled? You don't think you'd put me on your back?
You're not going to let Blake on your bike, Alec?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
The bike is broken for one. It's messed up. And I don't think I have the mechanical skills to fix it.
So at that point, I'm also hurt because you said I got a flat tire. My knee's cooked.
What, you get launched off of it?
Yeah. Are you going to let me get on your back to get me home? Or are you just going to make me walk?
I mean, how tall are you?
We'll say, we got any lady listeners right now? We'll say 6'2".
Don't you have a girlfriend?
I was just being funny. Yeah, 6'2".
I'm 5'7". Mm-hmm. I'm not carrying you on my back. I'm sorry.
I think you could make it work.
I'm strong enough. Like, strong, that's not a mass, problem. Yeah. But I'm not doing that. That just, no, the roles have to be reversed.
I'll call an Uber for y'all.
Thank you.
Like, I'll be the homie.
See, it's that simple. Why did your mind not go there first?
I was thinking we were in the desert. I wasn't really thinking there was vehicles.
Why would we be in the desert on a bicycle?
Name a desert, Blake.
Sahara.
Oh, there you go. Go. I'm proud of you.
Mojave.
Is that in Colorado or Denver?
Mojave is also the largest desert dessert.
Tiramisu.
In the western U.S., by the way, just everyone wondering.
Is there like a molten chocolate lava cake in the middle somewhere? Or
no.
Like,
no.
Making a chili stop.
No mojitos there.
The question of the day today is based on one of the national holidays that I still have no idea why or if these are actually real.
Yeah, these are all fake.
But nationaldaycalendar.com says, it is National Science Fiction Day. So, I ask you two gentlemen and the Tolos out there, each and every one of you, I need to hear from you. Twitch and YouTube too, please. What is your favorite science fiction film of all time? I could go super broad and say books and video games included. We're going to narrow it down. Your favorite sci-fi film is blank. 877-881-1053 before we hear from the greatness that is Joe Mazzulla.
Okay, so I think first of all, we have to narrow in what a sci-fi film is. Okay, so
it is scientific and it is fictional.
Are we counting Harry Potter?
Sure.
Okay. Are we obviously Star Wars? I feel like that's like the sci-fi.
No, that's film. Not sci-fi. Blake.
No?
No.
Yeah, if Harry Potter is sci-fi, then Star Wars is not.
Are we being for real? Y'all aren't joking with me? You don't think Star Wars is sci-fi?
I'm running bits on you.
Bro. Yeah, okay, we're doing bits.
Okay.
Harry Potter is not.
Harry Potter's not?
Harry Potter's not a sci-fi.
That's my point. Why is it not? It's because obviously fiction. We're walking through walls.
Because you believe anything I say.
It's a fantasy.
Yeah. But isn't that what fiction is? Fiction, fantasy, they're walking through walls and they're waving their wands. I love Harry Potter, but I guess I don't know what sci-fi is. Star Trek? That's sci-fi, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm there thinking, does it just have to be space? Is that the only thing that makes it sci-fi?
Yeah, kind of.
Because Harry Potter is also just Star Wars and Star Trek and the same thing, but they're in London. They're in Europe.
Jeez.
Right?
That's a stretch.
You've got a computer in front of you. You can look these things up.
What is considered sci-fi?
Because I will tell you my single favorite sci-fi film is, and I know it's like, just in terms of movies being movies, it's not the best of this franchise, but it's nostalgic for me, is Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. That is my favorite sci-fi film of all time, and I know it's not even the best Star Wars movie in terms of just movie quality, but I will never forget, because you know I'm young enough to where pretty much all the original six were out by the time I could even appreciate what was going on, and I watched them in order. So I thought that Anakin was the next greatest thing. I thought he was going to be the face of the Jedi Order. What? And then my little, I don't know, maybe 10, 12-year-old heart was shattered when I saw him walk into the class full of younglings and they all ceased to exist after he was done with them. So, yeah, that was kind of like, for me growing up as a wrestling fan, that was like the biggest heel turn ever. Like, was Anakin turning to the dark side.
Shout out to Anakin. Well, I'll be smitten, darn tootin', befuddled. You guys were right. Harry Potter is not considered science fiction. It's classified as fantasy literature.
It's almost like Chris Strong knows a thing.
Yeah, breaking news sponsored by BetQL.
Fantasy typically involves magical elements, mythical creatures, and supernatural events, which are prevalent through the Harry Potter books. Wow. Wow. I mean, I wasn't really like dying on this hill. I didn't know. But so is there a lot of fantasy movies? Like,
There's tons. Like, we're getting some in on the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line. The 682 agrees with me, Star Wars specifically, Revenge of the Sith. Let's see. We got more. I see the Terminator, geez, from the 972. That's considered sci-fi, Blake.
Yeah, yeah,
because
that's
unrealistic.
Robots, yes, and stuff.
Yes. So okay. Stuff like that. Because the 682 asked if it is considered sci-fi. Yes, it absolutely is.
What about Interstellar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's because my number one, by the way.
Okay, that's my number one,
really
too.
Good
I love
movie.
Interstellar.
There's no nostalgia built in for it, but it's definitely better than the movie I said.
Yeah, we were talking Texas. I mean, Matthew McConaughey, holy crap, in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recently re-released in theaters, so a bunch of people went to go see it because it's that dang good 10 years later.
A great score, too. The music in it, fantastic. Fantastic. Aliens 2 from the 817, Lord of the Rings from 214.
What about the Terminator? Does that count?
We just said that, Blake.
Okay.
Really? Just shut up. Just said that.
You to Internet Explorer today.
From the 214 King Kong. That's probably my father texting in.
Planet of the Apes?
Yeah. Planet of the Apes. If Alex Salas was here, he would be pounding the table and making monkey noises in the back with Carter Freeman. And I would be wickedly uncomfortable. Forbidden Planet from the 817 and from the 682. Blake's on something. And I fully agree. So
Back to the Future. That's yes. sci-fi. Yes. yes.
Is it? I like how you're having to validate everything with us.
Well, I'm not even going to act like I'm coming up with this on my own. I'm looking up a list right now. Blade Runner? Never even heard of that movie.
Bro's looking at a top 10 sci-fi movie. Looking at us. Is that sci-fi?
Are you on IMDb looking at like the highest rated sci-fi films or something?
This is IMDb top 100 sci-fi movies of all time. Number one, no one said it, funny enough. The number one movie that they got on here. With an 8.3 score, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
That's so dang good. That is the number one rated. Gold.
Yeah, that one's good. I've only watched it maybe twice. So I probably don't appreciate it as much as most people, but definitely a good movie.
What about the Alien series?
Yeah, definitely mentioned that already.
You did mention, yeah.
Okay. My ears are clogged.
From the 254 Transformers. Big Transformers guy because in high school I had the yellow Bumblebee Camaro. And
Transformers 1, if you know, best movie of
all absolutely.
Time.
Yeah, before Shia LaBeouf, fell from grace. And there's definitely a certain scene towards the beginning of the movie that, all kids from like ages 10 to 15 were definitely in love with. Yeah. So keep those coming in. Your favorite sci-fi films, 877-881-1053, Twitch and YouTube as well. I got to run this because I was scrolling on TikTok last night out of pure boredom, as one does. And I saw this come up from NBC Sports Boston. It's just a post-game presser from a few days ago with the head coach of the Celtics, Joe Mazzulla. And this is a little bit of a long clip, but I need you to hear what an amazing answer he gives to a pretty good question from a local reporter and how dumbfounded he is by this concept.
Joe, it seems like when people are struggling to make threes or, missing shots, it's like, okay, they're in a slump. But when it's defense or rebounding or things like that, it feels like, okay, players are being lazy or not.
Oh, man, that is the most profound statement in my 3 years is what you just said. The most profound statement of all time. Yes, it is so easy to blame effort as opposed to just make a shot.
So I'm wondering,
our expected defense is number one in the last 10 games and our layup percentage defense is number one in the last 10 games and our expected points per shot defense is like number three in the last 10 games. But you know what our 3-point percentage is?
Not
28th. So that me and you are just going to grow in our relationship together. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Yes. God, man, finally. We do have to play better, though, on both ends of the floor. But go ahead.
You kind of answered it, but I was just wondering if you feel like maybe that sometimes that can be overlooked as like you're not in sync on other ends of the floor. Like maybe you're trying to get rebounds, but you're out of rhythm or that sort of thing.
Let me be very clear. There's 10 to 12 possessions a game where we absolutely have to be better on the defensive end of the floor. I want to make sure I'm 100% clear of that, but it is very, very easy when things aren't going well to blame defense, effort, and it's very, very hard to let your brain or your heart rest in. We just got to be better offensively, and so you have to fight those two things, but it's we got to be better on both ends of the floor, but you just, like I said, most profound statement in 3 years.
Last question, Bobby.
Joe, you mentioned
try to follow that one up, Bobby, because I'm sure you're,
I try my best.
I'm sure you won't.
I've been in the press conference with Mazzulla.
He's a character.
It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the, hey, it's my first day on the job and I'm going to ask a question to get my name out there. Because I have been in the room where Mazzulla has made reporters rethink their job. I've had him where he's congratulated reporters and kind of almost it's like a little bit, you don't even really know what to say. Like, you are the smartest person I have ever heard. And you're kind of like, sure, okay. And also the flip in of like, why are you asking a question? How did you get in here? So if you're going to be a reporter in that room with Mazzulla, you better be on your P's and Q's. Understand what kind of response you might get. Because I feel like a lot of people don't do that. And they're reporting, well, they ask a question that they want to hear, but they don't think, what is this person probably going to say? Like,
sure.
Oh, why did they do X, Y, and Z? And it's like, okay, well, why do you think we did that? Yeah, we purposely lost the game. We missed all those threes and we wanted the other team to win. Is that what you wanted to hear? Like, you got to understand who you're talking to and what response you will get. And shout out to that reporter, because Mazzulla will love you up if you ask a good question.
I love in the middle of it where he's just like, God, our relationship is just going to grow from this point.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, he's such a genius when it comes to basketball. Like, he is one of the most knowledgeable coaches.
He's a real deal nerd.
Like, he knows. You heard him list off the stats. And if you go watch the video, he was not looking off of a piece of paper. He was doing that off the dome. Like, he is just hell-bent on being a great basketball coach, but at the expense of being a total weirdo, mm-hmm. which is fine because it's entertaining and it's fun. But then you watch the clips, like you were saying, where, you know, it might have even been the same reporter, I think, where she was like, what do you think about the new jerseys that y'all are rolling out? He's like, I like them. She was like, what do you like about them? He's like, they say Celtics on them.
Yeah,
like,
he's unapologetically himself.
Yeah, which I will give him credit for that, because sometimes they'll, you know, switch up and they try to be something they're not. Joe Mazzulla has been that guy, that same person forever, and I will air as many post-game, pre-game, you know, radio hits clips as I can of him, because he is just gold and he is my spirit animal, because, you know, one day I will be in a high enough platform where I can just be a total weirdo like him and everybody will just love me for it, kind of like you said.
Wins change everything. If he was the Pistons coach.
Oh, yeah. Man, if he was the Kings coach, he would have been fired 2 weeks ago. There you have it. That's AM on the FM right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, let's chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Alec Medford. His name is Blake Elliott. We will be joined by Mickey Spagnuolo here in just a moment. Our Dallas Cowboys insider going to get the latest scoop on the Cowboys and everything surrounding the team here in just a second. Do want to remind you that we are going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow for our Friday football feast. That is 12832 South Highway 35, 35 West and Rendon Crowley Road. We will be out there hanging out with you and taking a load off, as we always do each and every Friday during the football season. Very excited for that. But, Blake, we're talking about a lot during the break, and we can get to some of those conversations because you mentioned we still have a lot of NFL stuff to get to during the expressway when we go 35 minutes uninterrupted to the top of the hour next hour. But right now we are joined by our Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Mickey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, Mike was a little late and so made me a little late.
Yeah, gee, that's a shocker. Did he have anything interesting to say today heading into the final game of the regular season?
Well, he didn't want to tip his hand on who's the starting quarterback going to be. He said it's a competitive situation. So, you know, still trying to win that last game and wasn't ready to divulge anything. But, I mean, don't you think, he's got to start Trey Lance, right?
Yeah, it feels like at this point you've got nothing to lose. And right. You got to at least see what he can do. And for the purposes of, if you do think that Cooper Rush is going to be your backup quarterback again next year, don't you want to try to keep him out of harm's way?
Like, well, I mean, but see, and so here's the other part of that is both of them are free agents.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you want to expose them that would, and they play well, and then it costs you more to try to re-sign one or both?
Sure.
Or do you do what they did for Zeke and do him a solid and give, you know, the young guy a chance to go out and, you know, get a game under his belt to maybe show even himself what he can do? So, yeah, I think there's two different ways to think about, you know, what you do for the final game that, you know, now that, I mean, there's, I guess, winning is something to gain, but from a tangible standpoint, you know, you're not going to finish above 500. You're not going to make the playoffs. So, I know what I would do, but I don't know what they would do.
And you mentioned his name, and we got to ask a little bit about Ezekiel Elliott. Obviously, you know, not a huge role with the team this season, and the reason that they gave makes perfect sense for him to try to land on his feet with a contender. But did you see the release coming? Because I thought they would just keep him around to the end of the year and let him decide in the offseason. Did you see?
You know, yeah. You know what? And a funny thing is, we after it dawned on us, I think, after we did our podcast that day, it was like, Well, what if they do that and give him an opportunity to hook on with a team that's going to the playoffs?
Sure.
And, you know, the more we thought about it, it's like, well, that makes sense because you're not going to bring them back next year, right? And chances were, and it did, he cleared waivers, right? So now anybody could, you know, one of the 14 teams that are going to be in the playoffs, if you want to buy an insurance policy, you could sign them to the practice squad, right? And not cost you a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you suffer an injury, you elevate them to the 53 if you need them on game day. So you really have nothing to lose. And, you know, and my thinking was his agent had to do some reconnaissance, right? You got to call around and say, hey, if he was available, would you consider this, right? You got to make 14 phone calls. And so the fact that they asked to be let go must meant that he thought somebody might take that chance and do it. Or they just wait to see if they suffer an injury and it's like, well, if I can get an experienced running back, you know, to help out if I'm short, then, yeah, let's bring him on. So, yeah, I thought it was nice of the Cowboys to let him do it, and I'm thinking they must have thought there was a chance somebody would be shopping.
Mickey, Blake Elliott, first time getting the pleasure to speak with you. First of all, I got to say, wherever you are broadcasting for, your mic sounds impeccable. Great audio we're getting from you, Mick. And then secondly, when it comes for guys that actually will be playing for the Cowboys this Sunday, who are some guys you're still looking at, kind of giving you a reason to watch this football game? Like you said, not going to be making the playoffs, not going to be above 500. You can expect maybe some key players to be out of this one. Who are you still looking at to maybe make a last-second impact as far as it bleeds into next season?
Well, to answer your first question, we have a great hookup here at the Star. Back to you guys. Maybe see a little bit of Deuce Vaughn and more than just a carry here or a carry there. Maybe give him a series or something like that. I think that would be interesting to find out. Without CD playing, Brandon Cooks will see how much he plays, but we've been seeing the young guys, right? You know, that's the thing I've been saying. Everybody wants to see the young guys. Well, one of the reasons they might be in the situation they're in right now is because they've been forced to use all these young guys because of injuries. So I don't know that anybody's been sitting out and hasn't had, you know, great opportunity to play. Maybe you play, you know, some of the younger, but they've been playing the younger guys on defense all season long. I don't know that we're going to, you know, get a bigger chance. Maybe, you know, Flournoy gets more snaps than normal in the game. But they've been playing all those wide receivers, right? And so, yeah, really the only other position that, you know, you'd look at is quarterback, running back. They've been playing all the corners. They didn't have enough corners hardly to finish the last game, right? Which got them in trouble when they had to play Andrew Booth. Linebackers, they've about played them all. Defensive ends, played them all. So, yeah, you only get to have 48 eligible to play, so maybe some of the guys play a heck of a lot more than normal. I'm sure Micah wants a play so he can get his half a sack and get to 10 to, you know, have four consecutive seasons with double-digit sacks. I'm sure that's important to him. Kevontae Turpin, probably important to him that he can keep his kickoff return average up to set the Cowboys' single-season record. And he would have to have a big return to set the NFL record that's been standing since 1970. He's like less than like a yard and a half, 2 yards behind the record, which is 35 point something. He's at 33. So, but other than that, I don't know how much more you can see because you've been seeing it. And unfortunately, you're sitting there at 7-9.
And I think we're all on the same page with the Trey Lance stage. We want to see him playing. Why he only got in with 2 minutes in that Eagles game baffles me. Hopefully we see more of him in this final game. But you mentioned Kevontae Turpin. You mentioned the receivers. I don't know if you had a chance to see this quote by Saad Youssef of The Athletic kind of talking to Kevontae Turpin last game. And to summarize it, for the most part, Turpin was just saying he thought there'd be more downfield throws, some more action to the receivers, but it was pretty much just running the ball and short concepts to the receivers, and they were a little disappointed because they wanted to show what they were worth outside of CeeDee Lamb. When you hear things like that, does that make you feel any differently about how the staff is utilizing the receiver room or just the offense in general, or do you kind of already have your mindset on how this coaching staff has worked this year?
No, I think a lot of that had to do with they're worrying about their inability to block Philadelphia's front.
Gotcha.
Like, we got to get the ball out of our hands quick, right? And if I had any criticism, third and one, and you're still in the ball game, and you threw a deep pass that ended up being incomplete because the wide receiver was looking the wrong way, right? And he just talked today about the reason he called that on third and one is because he had a fourth and one call ready to go, and then they didn't use it. So, and there was your shot down the field, and it didn't work. So I think the game plan was, let's keep it short, let's make sure we protect the quarterback, let's make sure we don't turn the ball over. And as it turned out, they turned the ball over four times, right? And two of them were interceptions that were not wise decisions by Cooper Rush.
Mickey, we appreciate the time as always. We will do it again tomorrow.
Carry on, guys.
Appreciate the time. There he goes, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan, our Cowboys insider. And I like that point that you brought up about Kevontae Turpin, because I did see that quote, and I didn't really read into it until you brought it back up again. I'm not reading into it too much still, but the idea that he thought, maybe there will be a little bit more downfield stuff, which would have been fun just to see. I mean, I even asked Jerry about it last week with Jonathan Mingo. You know, it was like, it was 15% tongue in cheek asking him, but like, he's a big dude that his route tree is almost exclusively downfield.
Hey, good run blocker.
Exactly. So I was like, maybe they try going vertical a little bit more. I'm not saying every play, because Cooper Rush isn't Mr. Arm Talent. Nobody's ever mistaken him for that. But it's interesting to think that even the receivers at some point thought, we got to move the ball downfield. We got to take a shot here and there. So good stuff there by Blake Elliott. My name is Alec Medford. He is Blake Elliott of The Fan After Dark. We got Chris Strong on the ones and twos. And coming up next, we enter hour number three with some NFL overreaction or reality. Is this Cowboys' favorite? Is his career done? 877-881-1053. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.